Laura James, and I am, let's see, 43. 43, I think. Pretty sure. I lost track when the pandemic started, but I think 43.
We were discussing, because Gabe's 16, we were discussing if we have another family reunion in 10 years, that Gabe will be 26. It's entirely possible that Gabe would be at the next family reunion, like with a newborn.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, I am old.
And even if there's not a family reunion, Scott, it's going to happen.
Yep. All right. So, Laura, tell me what kind of student you were in high school. Were you a jock? Were you a nerd? Were you a straight A student?
I was like a dreamy kid that hung out with all the nerds, I think.
A dreamy kid. What does that mean?
I just kind of I didn't get straight A's and I wasn't super intense. I got good grades, but I hung out with all the kids who were really nerdy and did all of that stuff. But I was just always kind of, I don't know, lost in my own little world. So I did pretty well. I was in a couple clubs, but not like intensely academic, I wouldn't say.
Did you play sports or do activities?
I played lacrosse.
Oh, really? We were talking about lacrosse because Amy's daughter plays lacrosse. I don't remember lacrosse being a thing when I was in high school. It seems like more of a
No.
recent development, but clearly I'm wrong if you played it in high school.
Well, I'm not that
You're the same age as I am.
No, that's true. No, but I when I moved to so we moved from Oregon to Virginia, and I was the team had existed for 1 year before I joined it in the public high schools in my public high school in Virginia. So it had been around in like the private schools for a lot longer, I think, but it was really just like I was that's the only reason I made the team because I was not like a stellar athlete, but no one else knew how to play either. So
I wonder if it's an East Coast thing. I mean, like, I
it
literally only
is
remember hearing
definitely.
about lacrosse until, like, the last 10 years.
Yeah, no, I had never heard of it. My friend was like, "Hey, let's try out for the lacrosse team." And I was like, "What?" Yeah, I knew nothing about it because coming from Oregon, like we knew nothing about it. It's definitely an East Coast thing. It's like a mid-Atlantic thing. Like we moved to the heart of lacrosse country. I just didn't know that until I got to high school.
So you played lacrosse in high school. Did you do anything else in high school?
Not really. No,
Okay. Who would you say your high school experience was good?
was pretty good. It was fine. I had fun.
Okay. Do you remember as a kid getting into trouble or into mischief? Did your we were telling at the reunion, we were telling stories of all the crazy things people did as the kids. Does anything stand out at you
No, I mean, no, I wasn't bad. Like I said, I was just kind of like dreamy, and the worst thing I did was I ended up getting like 10 traffic violations in the first, I don't know, 18 months, like before I graduated high school. And
Wow.
I just kept getting pulled over because I was doing, driving wrong.
So
But
were you a bad driver?
yes.
Are you still a bad
And
driver?
some would say I'm still a bad driver.
I see.
No, I just sped a lot. So my dad, I got like my, I don't know, fourth or fifth speeding ticket. And then most of they weren't all speeding tickets, but I got like my fourth or fifth speeding ticket. And my dad, it was right at the end of my junior year of high school, I think. And so my dad made me promise for the entire summer I would not go a single mile over the speed limit. And I was driving our, we had this old like Mercury Grand Marquis. It was baby blue. And it, the reason I was speeding so much is you could barely feel the road. Like it felt like a floating tank. Like you just could not feel how fast you were going. So I was always looking down and like, oh my God, I'm going 93 miles an hour. But anyway, he promised me that, or he made me promise I wouldn't go a single mile over the speed limit. And if he found out I did, he was going to take my license away. So I promised, and I took the promise very seriously. And so my friends and I spent the summer, we would go out at like rush hour in this really like old lady car and go the speed limit when everyone in Northern Virginia like trying to get home. And we would get like lines of like 20 cars behind me on these twisty Virginia roads with everyone mad at the old lady in the Grand Marquis.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what I would do if that was my kid. Like, if he had gotten, because I mean, that affects your insurance as a parent. Like, that's my concern. Like, I have a 16-year-old, and he's just about to get his own car. And, like, the insurance is going to cost me through the nose, let alone if he had four tickets, you know?
We almost lost the insurance. The insurance company called up and said they were going to drop the entire policy, like, for the whole family because of me. And I don't remember what my dad did, but he had to, like, you know, make a lot of promises and do a lot of begging. And then they made some arrangement and we managed to keep our insurance. But yeah, I was a bit of a liability.
Do you remember, did you, like, your parents have like a coming to Jesus moment with you? Like, Laura, you gotta get this figured out, or we're going to take away your car or anything?
Well, that's what it was when they said I couldn't go a single mile over the speed limit.
Oh, okay.
I had to, you know, they were trying to like retrain me, I think. And it basically worked. I mean, I took it serious. I think they could do that with me because my dad knew I would take it seriously. Like, I told Lewis that once and he's like, I wouldn't do that because I don't think Zen would pay any attention to it.
Oh, really?
You know, it depends on the kid.
Sure.
And I did. So it worked for me.
Is he driving?
Zen is, yeah, but Zen is a really good driver, so it won't be an issue.
So I want to circle back. You said it like a couple times now. You said that you were dreamy in high school. What can you define dreamy? What does that mean?
I don't know. No, I guess I can't really define it any better than I have. You know, I mean, I had my friends and I just sort of went along and did whatever they did, but I felt like
when I hear Jimmy, I think like your head is in the clouds and you're kind of like in space cadet mode. Am I interpreting that wrong?
No, that is completely right.
Okay. Yeah. So you were
a senior. Yeah, very much so.
You were in your own world in high school.
I was in my own world. Yeah.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. Okay. So growing up, is there a favorite memory you have of your parents from when you were a kid? Did you have a favorite tradition or a favorite family meal kind of thing that you guys used to do all the time?
I'm curious to know what my sisters said to this.
You'll have to wait and listen.
I know. You know, I have a lot of good memories of when we were kids, and I remember things that we used to do. I don't remember like big family traditions. I mean, I remember, you know, we would go camping a lot and we would go, our vacations were always like going to visit national parks and stuff. And they were always really fun. My mom always had them like super planned out. And,
that's my next question actually, is what was your favorite family vacation? So did you guys go somewhere that was memorable?
We did. I mean, I remember a lot of those vacations. The one that kind of probably stands out the most from when I was really young is when we went to, I might be kind of smushing a couple trips together, but we went to Canada and we went all through Banff and Alberta, and we were just, you know, driving through the country in our giant old brown Chevy van.
You were camping along the way?
We stayed in motels mostly, okay. I think. But it was so spectacular. We saw all kinds of animals and we just had a really good time. There was a hotel that had a great pool. You know, it wasn't anything like super unique or exciting, but it was a really memorable trip for us, I think.
I don't know. That sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah.
how old were you?
I don't know, 8 or 9 maybe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
So you're the middle one, right? How much younger is Lizzie than you?
It's Lizzie's 2.5 years younger than me.
And how much older is Sarah?
2 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who did the cooking at your house?
So when we were kids, my mom did. She was a stay-at-home mom. She did all the stay-at-home mom stuff. And then when we moved to Washington, D.C., you know, we moved from like tiny Bend, Oregon, where we had this stay-at-home mom, like this very traditional, I think, American life. And then we moved to Washington, D.C. and like...
That's crazy. Both, like, I totally don't envision your mom as a stay-at-home mom kind of person.
You can or cannot?
I can't. I don't see that. I mean, like, ever since I've known her, she's been very, I mean, she worked for Bob Packwood, right? And she's got a lot of stories. Like, I don't.
Well, she worked for the Senate Finance Committee. I mean, yeah, I think she was a little bit bored. I think that's, you know, eventually she got to a point where she really needed to go back to work. And that's why we moved. But like, moving was just, you know, totally blew my mind. And then once we were in DC, my parents were both working full time, working late hours. And so we had to kind of pick up the slack. I'm not sure that we did a great job picking up the slack, but we needed to kind of pitch in a little bit more.
Meaning that you girls had to pick up some of the stuff that your mom was doing?
Yeah. So we had to, you know, we had to make dinner and we had to help with the laundry and clean. And it wasn't like... they weren't really demanding. It wasn't super onerous, but yeah, we went from stay-at-home mom doing all the chores to two parents working more than full-time.
And how old were you for that transition?
I was 12 when we left Oregon.
So those are your formative years right there, huh?
Yeah. 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 That was a huge transition.
What was your first real job, like after high school? Like, what was your first non-fast food job?
Does Peace Corps count?
Yeah, absolutely.
Probably Peace Corps. I mean, well, I think I joined Peace Corps because I was scared of getting an actual job. I just didn't, I had no.
I really? Like, somehow the Peace Corps is easier than getting a real job?
Yeah, it totally was. I went to what I thought was an, they had an application, like I went to something and they had applications on a table and I picked one up and I filled it out and made an appointment to go talk to what I thought was like, talk to somebody some more.
Is this in high school? This is after high school.
This is after college. This is my last year of college.
Oh, so you're.
Yeah. And then it turned out that was the interview and then I was in, and that was, I had like a few months until I graduate, but then that like took care of the next 2.5 years. Like I didn't have to worry about what I was going to do for 2.5 years after that. And I was going to go have a big adventure. So,
I mean, the Peace Corps is hardcore. Where did you go?
I went to the Dominican Republic.
Oh, wow. And what did you do?
I taught teachers how to use this computer lab that some other country had come in and built for rural high schools all over the country. So then they didn't teach them how to do anything and or like give them any supplies or any assistance. So they had these computer labs just sort of sitting there empty. So then the Peace Corps said, well, you know, we've got people who know how to use computers. And so they sent us out to teach computer classes.
And you're how old at this time? Like 22, 23?
22.
Wow. So is the Peace Corps paid? I mean, they give you room and board, right?
They give you a stipend. So I got like $300 a month, which was way more than I needed. Like I lived well above kind of the average standard of living in the village that I was in. I was very comfortable. I mean, I wasn't obviously banking a lot of money, but.
So they gave you a stipend and that covered food and lodging?
It covered room, board, travel. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So $300 was living large in the Dominican?
It was. Yeah, it was. Oh,
interesting. And you did that for how long? 2.5 years?
Yeah, it's like 2 years and 3 months.
And would you say it was a good experience?
Oh, it was amazing. Yeah, it was a great experience. Absolutely.
So there's no part of you that wishes you had got a real job? I don't mean to sound condescending. I mean, there's no part of you that says, I wish I had, you know, gotten started my career earlier.
No.
Because it was a positive experience.
It was very positive. It was much more positive than most of the experiences I had after that. No. Uh-uh. I mean, if you could go back to that time and just take a couple years out of your career, would you worry about doing that?
Oh, absolutely not. No, I mean, I totally understand where you're coming from, but I can also see the flip side where somebody, you know, would say, hey, you know, if I had started my career at 22 instead of 25, I would be in a different place. So, but I mean, it depends on whether or not it was a positive experience. Like a lot of people say that about the military, right? Like the military was great, but you know, I didn't get to really start my life until I was 27 kind of thing, you know, so.
Maybe. I don't know. That was very, very much a concern for all of us who were going into Peace Corps. Like we worried that we were making this huge mistake and we were going to be so behind when we got out. But in hindsight, no, not at all. Not remotely. They're just, yeah, it was a really, really good experience. And I did get a little bit out of it career-wise because I was speaking Spanish very fluently by the time I left. And that was pretty much the skill that got me my next job. But you know, beyond that, I didn't get much career-wise out of it. But I personally just hugely enjoyed it. And I think I grew up a lot. And it was a really special, unique thing that I got to do. I don't know that I did much for the Dominicans, but they did a lot for me, definitely.
Oh, really? You think you got more out of it than they did?
Yeah. I mean, I did teach some people how to use... I taught a lot of the thing that was kind of special that I thought I did was teach a lot of kids, like high school kids, to use the computers in the lab. And they caught on so fast and they loved it. And they went out and like, you know, figured out how to buy their own computer. There was this one group of kids that asked me if they could form a little IT club and would I be the head of it? And I was like, okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They just, you know, learned it like little kids learning a language. Like they just really took to it. And got online and were like building their own little websites and calling up their cousins in the Capitol. And then their cousins in the Capitol were getting computers so that they could go and visit them and use. I mean, they were just.
So this is like, this is the early 2000s then, if you were 22, 23, right? So was the internet was still pretty young back then. So they were doing internet stuff then?
They definitely were. There wasn't a lot of stuff in Spanish at the time.
Oh.
So that was a roadblock for them, but there was some. I mean, they probably added a lot of content actually. No, it was cool. It was neat to help them do that.
Yeah, that's super cool. So at the end of your, I don't know what the word is, term, do you have the option to renew up and stay in the Peace Corps?
You do, but most people don't. I was ready to go. It was, you know, I was 2 years in this little village and it's, you know, it's like a small town. And then I was ready to move on and do the next thing.
So did the village have running water and electricity?
Sort of. It was plumbed and wired and we had electricity maybe 50-60% of the time. And you never knew when it was going to come on and when it was going to go off, which was interesting if you're teaching computer classes.
Right.
And, we had water kind of similar schedule. So, I mean, yeah. So I had like this giant trash can in my shower and I just left the shower turned on all the time.
So that whenever
they say the water arrives, whenever the water arrives, it just fills up the trash can. And then I use that water for cooking, cleaning, bathing, everything.
The reason I ask is there's a guy I used to work with, he retired down to the Dominican and he used to take annual trips down to the Dominican. That was just like his vacation. And I think he liked it because like you said, everything is really cheap down there. So he could go down there and he would just be the richest guy in the village. Yeah. And I remember him telling me a story one time that he was building a house down there and he was talking about the water the water was only on for an hour or 2 hours a day. So he had to build a cistern to catch the water while it was on.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when the water would shut off, then he would have water on his own. What he told me was that the infrastructure in the ground, the pipes were so bad and so leaky that they couldn't leave it on all the time because it would just waste so much water. I don't know if that's true. I just remember he's talking about how excited he is to retire down to Dominican and build this house.
He
And then at the
doesn't have
same
running
time, he's
water.
telling us we don't have running water and like the electricity is sketchy. And I'm like, are you moving to a third world country? Like, why are you so excited about this?
He is, yeah, I mean, yeah, no, I think it had something. I'm not exactly sure what the deal was in my village. There were different situations all over the country, but in my village, it had to do with the water levels in the river. So,
Okay. Anyway, it's funny that he retired down there and he was very excited about it.
He wants to have an adventure.
Yeah. So let's see, where are we at? So you have two sisters and your mom has five brothers and sisters. So talk to me. Do you have any desire to have a big family or a family, or is Zen enough, or what do you think?
You know, Lewis and I talk about this, and I think that if we had met, like, I don't know, a few years earlier, we probably would have had kids.
How old
I
is
just,
Lewis?
he's old.
Wow.
He's 8 years older than me. So
That's not old.
assuming I was right about 43, he is, what does that make him? 51.
51.
Yeah.
Okay, so I
I
guess maybe
no, I mean,
why don't you talk about Zen a little bit? Because honestly, I didn't even know that Lewis, I think I heard in passing once that Lewis had a kid. So I assume that some of the other people listening to this may not be fully up to date on Lewis is now your husband, right? You got married?
I did, yep.
And Lewis has a 16-year-old son from a previous relationship.
He was married for about 8 years, I guess. And he has one son who's 16 and his name is Zen. And so Lewis and I, when we met, we talked a lot about having kids and we were on the fence and it just came down to, I didn't want to do it. I felt old. I mean, it was
Yeah.
like, I mean, sleep is like a huge priority for me these days. And I actually have friends from college. I have this group of friends and of the four of us, three of us were not married at the age of 40. And in the last 3 years, all three of us have gotten married, which was unexpected. But, both of the other two have also had kids and they are so tired. Like they send me these text messages that don't make any sense. Like I sent one friend a baby gift and she sent me like three thank you notes because she kept forgetting she had already sent me the thank you note. They are so tired and I don't want to be that tired. And I never had like a burning desire to have kids. I mean, I've got two nieces and a nephew and they are wonderful. And I love having time to, you know, I probably could spend more time, but they're enough for me. And Zen, like it's enough for me.
So
I just didn't want them
how old are
adding.
you how old was Zen
But
when you
they're
guys
hard.
started dating?
How old was I when we started
No, how
dating?
old was Zen when you guys started dating?
That was 5 years ago,
Okay, so
so
he was a,
he's
you know,
11.
he was a mostly formed human being. He wasn't a toddler or anything. Okay. So I lost my train of thought. We were talking about families and
Why
oh,
we
I was gonna
have
mention that
babies.
yes, I remember when I was a little kid, I was like 10. I can't remember. I mean, I was young-ish. And I knew one of my dad's friends. I mean, my dad must have been 40-ish at the time. And I remember him telling my mom, he's like, oh my gosh, did I tell you that Bob that I went to high school with just had a kid? And he was like shocked about this. And I was like, I didn't understand why. I'm like, people have babies all the time. Like, why is that a big deal? He's like, Bob's 40. He just had his first kid at 40. And I went, okay, you know, because I'm 10, like, I don't get it. I'm like, oh, okay, what's the big deal about that? He's like, that's pretty late to be having kids. Like, that's, you know, and I was, you know, because I was 10 and my dad was 40. I'm like, okay, well, so he started 10 years after you. Now, so I didn't fully process that until like I had kids. You know, this is what my kids were like. This is probably 10 years ago. Like, yeah, having kids is a young man's game. Like, they take a it takes a lot of energy, and it's not so much the sleep. I mean, that's definitely a component to it, but it's the constant vigilance and, you know, keeping sharp things out of their mouth. And, you know, anyway. So yeah, like at the family reunion, just like watching Terrence and Lizzie, like Angie, that it was because my kids are just now old enough, like we can sit back and just let them do their own thing. You know, so sitting back and watching Terrence and Liz go, oh yeah, you gotta get JJ to stop doing, you know, throwing this in the pool 400 times, or oh, you know, and then and Amy's there with her three girls, and you
I
know, one of them
know,
is
I
always in
know.
meltdown mode, and I was just like, oh, I forgot what that was like. Like, it takes a lot of time and a lot of energy to do that. Yeah. And so
Yeah, and I think
now that I understand that, and now I remember back to my dad talking about his 40-year-old friend having a newborn, like, yeah, that would be a nightmare. So yeah, Lizzie and Terrence, two thumbs up to you guys, better you than me, because that takes a lot of work.
I think Lizzie and Amy want, like, really, really wanted it. I think you have to really want it, and I just did not. So.
Yeah. So like, you were never like, my biological clock is ticking, like I gotta get married to have kids. That was never a thing.
Nope.
Okay. Who's your parents' favorite child?
I told you I wasn't going to prep, but I did hear this question in the other interviews, and I was like, oh, that's going to be interesting.
Do you have like a pre-written three-word or a three-paragraph essay just to respond?
When I was a kid, I was fairly full of myself, and I assumed I was the favorite child, and I don't know that that is true. I think that I was just my own personal favorite, and so I assumed that everyone felt the same way. Now, I don't think that my parents have. I think in the whole family, like, Liz is the favorite because she's just the nicest. She's the easiest to get
Really?
along with.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, she's just super sweet and positive, and but but a favorite, I don't know. I mean, Sarah's hilarious and fun and wonderful, and so I don't think there's really a favorite.
When
And
Amy and I were
my
talking about
parents
this a
don't have
little bit, like, I
favorites.
mean, I have two kids, and like, obviously, I don't have a favorite. I mean, if you had a favorite, you'd be a terrible person, right? Because you can't pick one, right? But there are definitely
Don't
qualities
know.
in both of my children that I like. They're very different. But it's
Yeah.
funny when you talk. So I legitimately don't have a favorite. I like both of my kids for different reasons, and I dislike both
Right,
of my
right.
kids for different reasons. But it's
Right.
funny talking to my kids because this came up at the reunion. Was Gabe said, he's like, oh, Roland is definitely your favorite. And I was like, what do you mean definitely? Like, he was no question to him. And he was like, oh, he does computers and you like computers and you guys do a lot of things together. And I'm like, that's what makes you think that he's my favorite? I'm like, he's 16, right? So I'm like, I ask you to do things all the time and you're 16 and you want nothing to do with me. So that you think Roland's my favorite just because he actually does stuff. Like, you want to watch TV, Roland? Sure. You want to go, you know, get a hamburger, Roland? Sure. If I ask Gabe to do anything that involves getting off his phone or my couch, the answer is always no. So
Yeah.
everybody seems to think that their parents have a favorite, and it's funny to hear those stories because, you know, I imagine that most parents don't really have a favorite because that would be pretty weird.
That's very politically correct of you to say. I don't know if that's true, Scott.
Really?
I don't think that my parents had a favorite when we were kids, and I don't think they have a favorite now. I think their relationships to all three of us are different and have evolved, but I have friends who definitely do have favorites, and they, like, confess this to me, like, they're terrible people, and
Really?
yeah, bend
I
over
can't
backwards for their kids
imagine
to not
choosing one of
know.
my kids and being like, because they're so different and I like them both for different reasons, huh?
I think if you just end up with a kid that you really like, it's like any your kids just have their personalities, and I don't know,
Sure.
if you really, really bond with one and the other ones you just don't, then it would be hard. But yeah, I don't know. So it was a
Don't
good
know.
question in your little
Maybe I'm
dumb
lucky.
question.
Maybe both of my kids are interesting just for different reasons.
Yeah.
I mean, Gabe is everything that I never was as a teenager. I mean, Gabe is popular and he's in really good shape and he gets straight A's. Not that I wasn't a good student, but he does 400 things in high school. Like, I was a nerdy. Like, I never had a girlfriend until I was 18. Like, I was never in good shape. I was never athletic. Like, Gabe was like polar opposite of what I was in high school. So it's interesting to look at him and go, okay, I mean, that's what high school would have been like if I had actually got off my butt, right? But then, you know, on the other side of the coin, like Roland is very much like me. Like he wants to sit on his computer and, you know, do his own thing. Like if Roland didn't leave the house for 24 hours or didn't get off the computer for 24 hours, he'd be super happy. Like that's his happy place. Gabe never wants to sit down, so it's weird. Where did you meet your significant other?
Online.
Oh, really? Did you swipe right, or was this pre-swiping right?
No, this was post swiping right. This was 5 years ago. On OkCupid though, so there was no swiping.
Okay. We were discussing, yeah, like I don't even know, like I haven't dated in so long, like no one goes and actually meets anyone anymore. Like everything is an app these days. Like if all of a sudden I had to date again, I don't even know where I would start.
You know, like most things, I think the apps made it a lot better. Like all of a sudden you had access to way, way more people.
I guess that's true because you could theoretically meet somebody sitting on your couch on a Friday night in your pajamas that, you know, in the past you would have had to get up and go to a bar or go to a game or something to meet somebody.
Yeah, and I went to a lot of bars and games and whatever with my friends and didn't meet anyone. So I found it to be much more efficient to be doing it online. I actually really liked dating online. I met all kinds of people and I thought it was fun.
Do you consider yourself an introvert or an extrovert?
I don't know. I'm like halfway in between.
You think Lewis is an introvert or an extrovert?
Probably the same. Like neither one
Yeah.
of us really need to be around a lot of people all the time, but we can both like fully handle ourselves in social settings and we're not recluses, you
Yeah. So talk to me about meeting Lewis on OkCupid. So you meet him on OkCupid, then you decide to go out on a date, I assume. And where's
So
your first date?
he says that he emailed me like 2 years earlier, like 2 years prior to the email that he sent when I actually responded. He says he sent me a message and I never responded to him. I don't remember that. But
Oh, wow.
then he tried again, I guess. And then I did respond. And we went to this restaurant called Hat Yai, which was this new little Thai place in my neighborhood. And it went very well. He did most of the talking. I just kept asking questions and he answered them at length and it was very pleasant. It was not like amazing.
So it's not bolt of lightning love at first sight.
Not remotely. No, uh-uh.
Oh.
It was pleasant, but that was about it. And
Pleasant? That's like the worst review of a first date.
is
I don't
it?
know. You're just like, well, I tolerated the person. He was all right.
He was nice. It wasn't a bad evening.
Well,
And
clearly not. I mean, it
we
worked
went out
out. It's
again.
just.
Yeah, it eventually worked out after we broke up like 6 times, I think, in the next year and a half. And
Whoa.
then
Okay, now I have to interview Lewis. I got to hear that side of the story.
think, you know, we just were both adjusting. Like I've spent most of my adult life on my own, not in, you know, I've dated people, but not in serious relationships. And so I had to learn to let go of some things. And then he also, you know, he had a very unpleasant divorce, and I don't think it was a great marriage. And so he was kind of processing a lot of that baggage. So I think, you know, I was looking for full commitment on my terms and he was looking for no commitment and we had to kind of find the middle ground.
So is he looking for no commitment because he just got out of this crazy relationship and he just wants to take it slow?
Yeah, I mean he'd been divorced for like 4 years, I think, when I met him, but I think
Oh.
it was not the kind of experience that made him want to jump right back in, let me put it that way. So
Yeah, I can see that. Absolutely.
yeah. So he, you know, I mean I so we just had to work through that and I'm not sure we kind of knew what we were doing at the time, like I can see it in hindsight, but then finally we just got through it. And then we just clicked, and it's been like, I moved in early February. I moved into his house in early February, 2020. And then the pandemic hit and we were like locked down together, and it was great. It was wonderful. Like, we had a really good pandemic. We were super happy just being together.
So you still own your house? I heard you're renting it out. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, talk to me about getting married. So your mom stands up at the family reunion and she says, I can't remember exactly what she said. She said, I just want to let you know that Laura has a message for all of you. And she said, expect a save the date card, like in the mail, like the whole room, like everybody gasps, like, oh, Laura's getting married. And then she like follows it up with, to a party because they're already married. Or something to that effect. I don't remember. Like, everybody was expecting, like, there's just going to be this wedding announcement. But clearly, you guys already got married. When did you get married?
We got married legally. But I, you know, the wedding has its own meaning. So we literally, like, had our friend get ordained online. And we had two witnesses, as required by the state of Oregon. And we did get
all witnesses?
Two friends of ours, just this couple that we're friends with, we went down to the Portland Art Museum in the little park blocks in front of the art museum and had our 2-minute little ceremony, and then we went to happy hour, and that was our wedding.
Did you wear a white dress?
No, I wore a green dress.
Okay, so. Why not a big wedding?
We wanted to, well, you know, I quit my job last fall and I needed health insurance. So that was kind of the instigator for all of this.
It's purely a business transaction.
It is not. It is not. I think, you know, maybe in our heads, we kind of thought maybe it sort of was. But then when we did it, it was, I don't know, it was more special than that. But,
Yeah, weddings are a big deal.
That's like why now, but then like Zen wasn't there, none of our family was there. Our families have never met. So we're having the wedding, which has all of the wedding significance, and that will be next year, assuming I get on the ball and plan it.
Well, I'm going to throw your family members under the bus just because they were. Your mom and dad were clearly not happy at the family reunion that they didn't attend said wedding. And I'm like, I mean, I don't know the situation, so I'm just listening to the story. And I'm like, okay, I can understand that, you know? I mean, Laura, she's dreamy. She can do whatever she wants, you know? So, and then I interviewed your mom, and she was talking about how she didn't want to have a wedding either. Like, she just wanted to get married. Like, same sort of deal that you said. Like, she was in college, and she was like, let's just get justice of the peace. Let's just get it done. And I remember looking at her going, really? Weren't she just kind of like frustrated with Laura that she didn't have a big wedding and you just want to do the same thing?
Yeah, good observation, Scott.
Oh.
I don't know. Like, I have to say, I am surprised. I might have this wrong, but I think Mark and Nicole were married legally before their wedding ceremony. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but I thought that was true. I did not think it was going to be a big deal. I didn't think people would really recognize us as being married. I didn't really recognize us as being married. But I have gotten completely the opposite reaction. Like, everybody's like, oh, so you just went and got married. It's like, well, you know, we're just like breaking up the work. I mean, we just did the paperwork and then we're going to have a big wedding and I want everyone to come. But
oh my gosh, that is such a Laura response.
It's been weird to get the response I've gotten has been weird to me. Like, it was just totally unexpected.
Yeah, weird in that you didn't expect people to be upset.
Well, it's been very interesting for me. It just never occurred to me that I was not on the same page with everyone on this. And it turns out I am like in a different book. So
it's probably because you're so dreamy.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess so.
Who is the most frustrated? Who were you most surprised was frustrated?
My sisters. they're not frustrated with me, but they're like, oh, well, you already got married. And I'm like, no, I didn't. I mean, I'm legally married, but I have not had a wedding yet. And the wedding is the important thing. And they're like, well, but you're married. They're like you. And yeah, that just surprises me.
I see the reception is just a party. Like the wedding is like the real, you know, that's the commitment, right? And anyway. All right. We got to move on. We'll be arguing about weddings forever. I'll tell you what. I'm happy for you. I'm really glad you and Lewis got married. I actually really like Lewis because I can actually talk to Lewis when we have Christmas dinners. I mean, he's a cool guy. Like we have similar interests. So I good for you guys. And I am very much looking forward to coming to your wedding. And
thank you. Good.
Do you have a target date for said wedding sometime next summer?
We're still trying to figure out the location, and it's going to depend on, you know, when the location is available. But yeah, sometime next summer. Would you guys go to Tahoe? That's a possibility. Because Lewis's sister has a house in Tahoe.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. It all depends on timing, and having, you know, traveling out of state with kids gets more expensive. And my cousin, just like while the family reunion was going on, my cousin got married in Cancun. Oh, and wow. So that's where my parents were, and half, you know, like literally 40 of my family was in Cancun while I was in Utah. And Angie asked him, she's like, do you want to go to Cancun? And I was like, yeah, I mean, it'd be fun to go to Cancun, but there's this family reunion. I mean, and honestly, flying me and my two kids and my wife down to Cancun was prohibitively expensive compared to flying to Utah. So that's just what we did.
Yeah.
So that's always my thing about doing it out of state is the costs ramp up.
Well, I'm thinking people could drive to Tahoe. It's like 8 or 9 hours, but it's feasible.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I look forward to it. Either way, I will be there, and I'm excited for you and Lewis.
Thank you. Okay.
And I look forward to meeting Zen, because I've never met him. I don't think. Have I?
No. He didn't know. Huh? You've never met him.
I think I've only met Lewis, like, maybe twice. Maybe three times, like...
Yeah.
Christmas or whatever. Anyway.
Yeah. He came to that... you guys had a gathering at your house, like, 2018 or 19?
Do we do Christmas at my house?
Yeah, you had.
Like, I do. I vaguely remember him sitting in my dining room. Well, for the record, we're having Christmas at our house this year. Angie already volunteered, so we don't have. So we can sit around and talk a little easier than at that Chinese restaurant.
Okay, that sounds good, and we can talk about the definition of weddings.
What was your college experience like? So, after high school, you went into college, and then immediately after college, you joined the Peace Corps. So talk to me. Where did you go to college?
I went to the University of Virginia.
And what was your major?
In Charlottesville. I ended up double majoring in English and Spanish because I couldn't decide.
Okay. And what was the intent of getting an English and a Spanish degree? What did you want to do?
There was no intent. I was like really panicky about it when I was in college. I had no idea what I wanted to do. No idea what I wanted to do. I majored in English and Spanish because that was what I was good at. And I liked those classes. I mean, I had studied abroad in Spain my junior year, and I just came back with enough credits to get a major in Spanish. So it was like, okay, there we go. But I had no plan, hence Peace Corps.
So you were just taking classes because you liked English and Spanish?
Yep.
Okay. And you ended up getting a degree, and then you got to the end and you're like, I don't know what I want to do, so I'm going to join the Peace Corps because it's easy.
Yep.
I mean, it's a guaranteed thing. It's like, okay.
And it's, you know, it sounded like a big event. It sounded cool. It sounded like a big absolutely. Adventure.
So after the Peace Corps is over, you get out of the Peace Corps, then what do you do?
I moved in with my parents, which was terrible.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you're what, 26, 25 at this time, living with your parents?
25. Yeah. Oof. Yeah.
Why was it terrible?
Well, I was going through, you know, I mean, I had been like totally on my own for years and years and years. And I just wasn't ready to have people asking me like when I was going to be home and, you know, telling them where I was going. And
plus, you're an ornery 25-year-old, like most people.
Expecting me to hang out with them. Like, I was just like, I was live my life, be in my room. Like, I don't think I was, I mean, I don't think that I was, like, super messy or disrespectful or noisy or anything like that. I just
But your parents had
wanted
expectations
to be doing
of
my
you.
thing, and yeah, my parents had expectations that I was rejoining like the family unit, and it just did not work out.
We've had
well, so they ended up asking me to move out.
Oh, like, wow.
And that week, I...
So how long were you there before they asked you to move out?
10 months.
Oof.
So
you were driving them so crazy, they're like, you need to move out?
Yeah, apparently. I mean, I think they were overreacting.
Or were they doing it because they just wanted you to move on with your life?
No, no. they were mad at me. and I was not super sympathetic to their concerns.
All right, Julie, if you're like, listening to this, I need a follow up on that story.
I had been temping that whole time, so like I'd been working, but I still didn't know what I wanted to do, and I was not applying to jobs very successfully. But that week I ended up getting, or that week, like around that time, I ended up getting a good job and moving in with a woman my age who became a good friend of mine who was also temping. I'd met her while I was temping, and she needed a roommate, and I got a job, and my parents kicked me out sort of like all at the same time. So it worked out.
So it was good that your parents kicked you out? I mean, you think it got you moving?
No. I think it ended up not being that bad because all of that other stuff happened to come together at the same time.
I see. Let's see, how old would I have been? When Roland was like literally 6 months old, we sold my house and we moved in with John and Vi. So I would have been 32, and I'm living with my in-laws with two kids. Gabe's 3 and Roland is 6 months. And exactly like you said, like you're living in somebody else's house and they're asking you when you're going to come and go and what you want for dinner. And I'm like, dude, I've had my own house for like 8 years now. Like I'm a fully formed adult. Like this is crazy. But they're my in-laws. Yeah. Like I got to be nice to them. Like they were totally gracious. Like I have nothing but good things to say about them. It's just really hard living in somebody else's house when you're old enough to know better. Right. Like, so I commiserate with you being a 25-year-old living with your parents. So,
yeah. I mean, I'm sure I could have been better. I was not sympathetic with their concerns at the time. I do think that they were, and you can, you know, I do think they were overreacting a little too, but anyway, it was better that I did not live there. So it all worked out.
So what are you doing for a job now? I honestly don't know what you do.
So I am still doing consulting. I do program evaluation for utility clean energy programs. It's a very niche little area.
So are you a government employee?
No, I work for a consultant. Well, I used to work for a consulting firm.
Oh, you said you're
a consultant. For about 10 years. And I left that in the fall because consulting is awful. But I didn't have anything else. So I just called up this woman that I had worked with many years before who'd kind of moved to a different company that was a little more relaxed. And she and I work for her as an independent consultant. And I am doing that and renting out my house while I look for something better. Like I was in that job that I really hated for a really long time. So I'm really looking for something that I'm not going to hate. And I happen to be in a place where I can sort of take my time with it. So I'm doing that.
So I guess in a sort of leading question kind of fashion, your job has nothing to do with your degree.
No, it does, because I went back to grad school in my late 20s and I got a degree in economics.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Hilarious. Yeah. I mean, I did not retain very much of it at all, but so I do a bunch of surveys and analysis based on economic.
So some of that is economics. Okay.
Yeah. So it relates to that. But
is it like Sarah's degree is in geology and she's certainly not studying rocks, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We spend all this money on our educations before we really know what we want to do or where we want to end up. It's not a perfect.
Well, that's what I was trying to explain to Gabe, because he's 16 and he's, you know, starting to think about college and what he wants to do. And, you know, a lot of times doesn't really matter. You know, you go get that college degree and then you, I mean, certainly you should probably try and have a plan, but you know, there's a lot of Sarahs and a lot of Lauras out there who get a degree and then end up in a totally different job and they're totally successful. It has nothing to do with that. It's just, you know, sometimes that's the way it works out. My aunt was a super duper successful mortgage broker. She gave me the mortgage on both of my houses. And yeah, her degree was in biology. I mean, that she was,
right,
you know, yeah. Like every year she would go to President's Club and she was always winning awards. She was super successful at her job, but she was a biologist like by training. But, you know, sometimes it works out differently. So,
Yeah, definitely.
As a kid, what was the worst thing you ever did to one of your siblings or that they did to you?
You know, we were not that bad to each other. When we were really little, Liz used to follow me around. And I have, I'm talking like I was 6 or 7. Like, I have a vague memory that I would beat her up a lot. Like, I would give her Indian burns until she promised to do what I wanted. I remember doing that a lot. I don't know if she remembers me doing that. I remember it was very effective. But then, you know, we got older and grew out of that kind of stuff. And I think the worst thing I did to them was just wreck both the cars, which I obviously did not do on purpose.
So let's back up a little bit. Does Lizzie say you picked on her or you say you picked on her? Or both?
I don't know. I've never really talked to her about it. Or if I have, I don't remember. We were young when I was doing that, but I just kind of have this memory of doing that. And I think it kind of came back to me not too long ago. And I was like, oh wow, that was really neat.
Well, for what it's worth, it didn't come up when I interviewed you. You didn't scar her for life or anything.
Yeah, no, she was just kind of go with the flow then. Like, okay, this is how this, like, I think she thought it was just normal. She was really little.
Yeah. I'm curious, Sarah told the story, so I'm curious if you can lend some credibility to this, that there was one time, and I forget who had what weapon. Well, I think Lizzie had a knife and you had some sort of plastic belt or something, and Sarah had to physically separate you because you guys were literally going to kill each other.
No, I'm not surprised Sarah remembers it that way. No, when we were in high school, I would antagonize Elizabeth sometimes, and she would get really, really mad at me. And it was just like easy to wind her up, you know? And so I would just do it sometimes. And this was one of those times I was teasing her about something and she was just so mad at me and she just wanted me to shut up so bad. So she was chasing me, or she grabbed like the chef's knife from the kitchen and she was chasing me around the house and I would not stop. I was still like taunting her.
And wait, she's got a knife and chasing and you're still poking at her?
Oh yeah. I was laughing. Like she was so mad. And Sarah probably actually thought I was in real danger. I was not. Liz was not going to stab me. I don't remember Sarah having to break us up, but maybe
Sarah did say that you have a penchant, even back, certainly when you were a little kid, she said even now, to really push Lizzie's buttons.
She said even now? I don't think I did.
I'll have to go back and listen to exactly what she said, but maybe I'm misremembering, but you get along with both of your sisters well now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. We get along well now. They said that, right?
You'll have to wait and see. let's see. I think that's pretty much it. Are there any other, before we wrap up, are there any other interesting family stories that you've heard that you think that I should get recorded? Like you heard a rumor and you're like, oh, I wonder if that's really true.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, that's all I really have. Is there anything else that you want to talk about? Are there any questions I didn't ask that I should have?
No, I thought you had good questions.
Well, I can't take credit because Julia and Alex helped me come up with the questions. So
The three of you came up with good questions.
Well, I'm looking at the clock. And
I guess my question would be, Scott, you are, it's unusual to me that you are the one who's doing this because you're not like a blood relative of the family.
Right.
It's really great that you are, and you're doing an amazing job. I'm just curious what's interesting about it to you.
So, like I said, my grandmother had 9 kids too. And there was a point, and all of her kids are fantastic. Like, there's no black sheep. Nobody's in jail. Like, everybody has their crap together. And there was a point when my kids are really young, probably like, you know, 4 and 2. And I was just completely overwhelmed because it's a lot of work, you know, and you're brand new at this. Like, you don't know if you're going to kill the kids because they're, you know, poison. I mean, like, everything runs through your head. And I just remember being very overwhelmed one weekend. And I called my grandma up and I said, hey, can I come over for lunch? And so I went over to her kitchen for lunch and I recorded our conversation. And I asked her what it was like to have 9 kids and what it was like to grow up during World War II and what it was like to grow up during the Depression. And, you know, just all these different questions. And she told me stories about all of her kids. You know, I think I asked a question about each one of her kids. And, you know, the impetus being that if she can have 9 kids, like, I can have 2, right? So she told me all these stories. And I want to say, you know, for lack of a better word, she, like, talked me off a ledge, right?
Uh-huh.
And so, I mean, that was years ago, like 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And I found the file on my computer. And she actually died this year in February. She died at 93. And I had shortly thereafter found the file. And I'm like, well, what am I going to do with this file? And I'm like, so I decided what I was going to do was next year on her birthday, I was going to email all of her kids and go, here's this voice that you probably haven't heard in a while. And here she is telling some stories that maybe you haven't heard. Cause she told stories about, you know, when she got married, you know, at 19 and how they got a loan from her mom for their first house and how one of her kids had a congenital heart defect and was 3 years old and was having heart surgery literally on the same day that she was in a different hospital across town giving birth to his little sister kind of thing. Like,
oh my God,
she has all these crazy stories. So I really enjoyed that. And I thought it was really cool to hear her tell these stories because she was a very interesting person. I mean, I don't think you can have 9 kids and not be interesting. And so we were just sitting around killing time at the family reunion. And, you know, we're all telling similar stories like that. And I'm like, well, I wonder if I could just record people on my cell phone. Like, number one, I was worried if it was going to work because, like you said, I'm not a blood relative. Like, I'm an outsider. So I'm like, well, I'm going to grease the wheel. So I go to George first, because if there's anybody that's going to want to do this, it's going to be George, because he loves telling stories. Like, if there's one thing George loves, it's talking. And if there's the second thing would be, you know, telling elaborate stories, right? So I go up to George and I said, here's what I'm thinking about. I want to record this family podcast. Are you interested? Do you think it'll work? And he was like, nope, hard pass. And
really?
I had to reevaluate. I'm like, okay, maybe I misjudged, you know, that this would be a cool project.
You know, he sounded nervous in his interview. I thought he sounded strangely nervous.
Oh,
did you think so?
Yeah, I think he was on edge a little bit. He was one of the first ones that I recorded, so I don't know if I had figured out the style yet. Because what we had talked about was these questions, and I think a lot of the siblings were concerned that they were going to be gotcha questions, like, you know, your siblings ratted on you and you need to account for, you know, this time you pushed Julie off her bike or whatever. Like, and it's clearly not that, like, no one cares because it's all 50 years ago. So I think George was a little on guard, you know, because I asked him, did any of your kids get in any trouble? And he was like, nope, my kids were angels. And I was like, really? I'm like, you don't have to sell your kids out. Just like, do you have any interesting stories? Like, that's all this is about, right? So George says, hard pass, I'm not interested. And I'm like, well, okay, maybe I misjudged. So I go and I talk to Mark, because he's a little younger, maybe, because I'm sure George doesn't even know what a podcast is. I talk to Mark and I explain it to him. He's like, I don't know, maybe. And then I sit down, because we're just killing time, and Alex and Julie and I sit down, like, if we did this, what are some good questions? And we came up with a list of the questions. And then I went to your mom, because we'd been talking about how we were going to do it. And I'm like, your mom was just walking by. And so I said, hey, Julie, do you want to do this? And I explained it to her and she was like, yeah, sure, no problem. And we went and we talked for like 40 minutes, whatever it was. And she was super chill. Like, it didn't faze her. She had good answers for all the questions. And then when she got done, like, everybody else was way more on board. Because I assume she went back and told them, you know, that I'm not trying to, you know, dig up skeletons or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it would be interesting because I had done that with my grandma and I found it a very fulfilling experience. And then, I mean, certainly there's a lot of people in this family with a lot of interesting stories and it's been a really good experience for me. I've really enjoyed it and definitely heard some things that I had no idea about. So,
well, I do interviews for a living. That's what I do. And I have to say, you are an excellent host.
You think so?
You know, yeah, you put people at ease. You are very much, you're good at getting them to talk without making them feel uncomfortable. I think you're doing a very good job.
Well, I have found that most people like talking about themselves, so it's really not that hard to get people to talk about themselves if you have good questions. So tell me about you. Everybody wants to talk about themselves, right?
Yes. Yes.
Well, I'm looking at the clock, and it's now 6:08, which means we've been recording for more than an hour.
Uh-huh.
So I think that means that you win the award for the longest interview thus far. Previously, it was John. Because John had a lot of stories to account for.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So,
well, I'm assuming most of this is not going in the podcast.
I think most of it will. I don't, what
really?
Do you think?
Nobody wants to listen to me for an hour.
If they don't want to listen, they can just turn it off.
Okay. Well, I encourage you to edit liberally, but
I think you overestimate my amount of free time to edit these things. I usually just spend like 5 minutes. I'm like, close enough. People can fast forward if they want. All right. That's really all I have. Thank you for taking the time.
Well, thank you for doing this. I hope I get to, you know, see you guys soon.
Yeah. I mean, if nothing else, we'll definitely do something at Christmas at my house, but yeah, maybe before then we'll see.
That sounds good. Yeah.
All right. Well, tell Lewis I said hello, and we'll see you later.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.